I'm going to do the message in a slightly different way from usual. May is going to read two or three verses of the Bible at a time, all about faith. And I am going briefly, when she's finished each one, to say a bit about each one. Then she'll go on to the next one. Got the idea? That's how it's going to work. That's why we've had no Bibles out today, because we're doing the Bible in the actual message. So, May, would you like to read, please, the first scripture?
This is John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Right, now this takes place during the final discourse of Jesus with his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. He tells them he is going to leave them. They don't quite understand this. They find it baffling. But they think now Jesus is going to heaven, to his Father. Now all the miracles of healing will stop. Now all the signs and wonders that he did will come to an end, because he will be here no more. But he makes this astounding statement. Dare we believe it? He says to his disciples, and to, this means to the church and Christians of all time, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. Because I am going to the Father and will be in that place of supreme authority and power in the world, or we would say the universe, because I am going away to that place, don't think that things are going to stop. He says, in fact, it's quite the opposite. Because I'm going to the Father and will be in that place of authority, more will happen through my believers and through their prayers than has ever happened in my ministry. Now that makes your mind boggle when you read what Jesus did. I was sharing on Friday night some of the wonderful things I've seen him do in my own and through my own very feeble ministry. I've seen him do these works. But do we dare believe it here? And he says, whatever you ask in my name, because I am with the Father and in that supreme position of authority, I will be in a better position to answer your prayers than I am now. So whatever you ask in my name, it will be done, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. that the Son whom you see on earth will receive even greater glory as your prayers are answered. Now, when I was what might be called a rather ordinary Anglican vicar, I used to read my Bible and pass by all the bits I didn't like. I used to say, I'm not very keen on this bit here. I'll read about one of his miracles that he did. Well, on May the 10th, 1969, I received such an anointing of the Holy Spirit that I was able to believe the whole Bible. And I believed this implicitly. The works that I do shall you, feeble human beings, do also. I've often said, Lord, I would willingly settle for the works that you did. But then he goes on to say, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. I'll be in that supreme place of authority and power. Dare we believe it? May on to the second reading.
Matthew 18, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Now, I have engaged in this scripture daring to believe it, that where two of you agree on earth as touching anything that is in my Father's will, that is, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So, especially for absent friends, I have joined hands with someone who is a believer and asked them to believe with me, to agree with me, that what we pray for shall be done of Jesus. Because when we join our hands and agree that this miracle shall happen, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. So when we make what I call this prayer of agreement, Jesus is actually present with us who are making this prayer of agreement. And he has promised that it shall come to pass, because he is in the midst. Dare we believe it? Now, this prayer of agreement has special conditions. First of all, the two people making this prayer of agreement must be in agreement without a shadow of remotest doubt that this will come to pass, done by Jesus. If either of them is a bit doubtful, or thinking, I'll see if it works, or whether Jesus does it, or I'm not quite so sure, or it's a big thing to ask. If I'm praying with someone and agreeing with them, if either me, and I'm not perfect by a long way, or the person I'm agreeing with has the slightest doubt, that Jesus will do it, we are not fulfilling his promise in this particular verse. I cannot say that every time I have prayed the prayer of agreement, I have seen everything come to pass, because I am flesh and blood like everybody else. And so is the person I'm agreeing with. The last time I prayed this prayer of agreement with someone who had just become a Christian and hadn't had time to doubt, who was really believing, and I believed, was in Eastbourne. Her sister in France was suffering from cancer in the thyroid gland, which was incurable. Elizabeth and I somehow managed to enter into a perfect agreement at 10 o'clock one Sunday morning that this cancer would go. Now, being as she was a new Christian, she rang up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, her sister in Paris, and said, "Has anything strange happened to you today?" And her sister in Paris said, "I felt a strange glow of warmth in the top of my neck at 10 o'clock this morning." The sister went to the hospital to be checked up, and all the cancer had disappeared. That's just one case in many where I've managed to enter into this prayer of agreement. All I'm saying is I believe the whole Bible, and I believe that what Jesus promises is God's promise. And God cannot break his promises, providing we fulfill the conditions. Next scripture, May.
This is James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
Now, this is how the early Christians ministered to the sick in their churches. It's written in Christian history. They did not send a message to the church, "Will you pray for so-and-so at your service?" They brought the sick to the church because it was believed in the early church, and should still be believed today, but whereas intercessory prayer, as we call it, is valid and is answered, it is not the New Testament way for Christians in church to deal with their sick. In Jesus' ministry, there was always a point of contact between the sick person and himself, by either the laying on of his hands, by either his touch, or by his spoken word. The same happens in the Acts of the Apostles. So what the New Testament teaches is that the sick should receive ministry in church with all their believing friends praying, And listen to this, the prayer of faith, not the prayer with any doubt, not the prayer, if it be thy will, the prayer of faith shall save the sick person. He's received the laying on of hands in the New Testament days, the anointing with oil also, and he's or she has been ministered to. Now, this I encouraged in my church in London in the 1970s, which grew from a congregation of 12 to 600 people, because they brought the sick. And we prayed over them, not only me, but other ministers as well. And we believed. And people were sharing, even in the laundry on the estate, the miracles they'd seen in St. Paul's Church on Tuesday night. The prayer of faith. Do we have the faith? Because if we're in doubt, the promise will not have been met and answered. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, what if the sick are too poorly, like David is this morning, to be brought to church? What can we do? This scripture teaches us that if they can't be brought to the church should go to them and lay hands, anoint for and a minister. Is any of you sick, presumably at home, let him send, or her send, for the elders of the church in their home, that they may pray over the sick, anoint them with oil, lay hands upon them, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So once again, when I was vicar of a church at St. Paul's Hainault and had the authority to do it, we had a minibus. And if any of our sick members were sick on this housing estate of 16,000 people, some members of my church had volunteered to come with me, and we went to their homes and had a little healing service in their homes, in their bedroom very often. Sang a chorus or two, read the Bible, and laid hands on them and anointed them with oil, and many were the miracles that happened. So once again, I am not saying that intercessory prayer for the sick is worthless and shouldn't be done. It's valid and is answered. But I'm telling you why I perform the ministry I have done since 1970. I haven't made it up. It is biblical and has promises attached to it, and I've seen God work in hundreds of cases through it. That's why I do it. But I must say, I also in those days ministered in a 600 people church. And when I was ministering, the people were on the edge of their pews in expectancy and faith. But poor old Trevor Deering at the front there would get some support, and people wouldn't just come and wait and see if he could do it. They all were involved in the ministry through their faith. Is any of you among you sick? Let him send for the elders of the church, that they may pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. This isn't a Trevor Deering thing. This is biblical, which I've practiced now over, 1960? over 40 years. I'm still staggering on at 82. But we prayed over people on a Friday night, and I believe prayer will be answered. Next and last scripture, may.
Mark 11, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them."
Faith again. Jesus says, if you speak to the mountain. Now he was choosing the most immovable thing on earth. What he is saying is, do not set any limits around what God can do through faith. Don't say this person's got an ingrown toenail, that's easy. This person's covered with arthritis, therefore that's difficult. Now, everything is possible with God. He says it in more than one place. And the Bible says it in more than one place. But notice this. If you say, and do not doubt in your heart, that believe that what you are saying is going to come to pass, that is expectancy. You don't only pray. Faith involves expectancy. Our expectancy, I've shared it before, is like the lady who read this, went home, said to her husband, "Bert, says here, if we say to this mountain, 'Be removed,' and look at that slag heap outside our window caused by the coal mine. I'm going to do this tonight." So she opened the window, pointed to the slag heap, and in good King James English, because she felt it was more efficacious, she said, "Slag heap, be removed into the North Sea. Amen." Went to bed. Next morning they were having breakfast. She drew back the curtain. "Bert," she said, "that slag heap is still there, just as I thought." Do you see what I'm trying to say? Just that, how often do we get healing ministry, "I'm still sick, just as I thought"? I pray for people just as I thought, because I'm in this as well. So expectancy, and if you pray believing, expecting you're going to receive it, not hoping, says Jesus, but these are the words of Jesus, not me, anybody else, not even James, Peter, none of the apostles, these are the words of Jesus. If you pray believing, you will receive it. And the Greek says, believing you have received it, it will be yours. That's what I'm desperately trying to do here. I suppose I don't want to give up what I did in the 1970s. So thank you for your support, and those who have a little faith. Because everything I have ever believed, preached or done is utterly biblical. So we will sing our last hymn, number 40. "Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place." And if there's any people who want prayer this morning with the laying on of hands for themselves, or who will dare to enter in agreement with me, for someone who's they love who's not here, come and sit on the front row while we're singing this last hymn, and we will have coffee afterwards and go home believing that miracles have happened. And if you've received ministry before, I was vicar of St. Paul's Hayne Hall for 5 years. And there were some people who came forward from my congregation every week. And they persevered because Jesus says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't give up. And they were healed sometimes 3 years after I first started praying for them. So, and then when we've dealt with anybody here who wants prayer for absent sick friends, I would like May and John, as the elders of this church who haven't been even forewarned, to come and sit on the front row, and I will join hands with them, and we will, and with your support, go into a prayer of agreement for David. Okay? Right, number 40, be still for the presence of the Lord. Stand to sing and come and sit on the front row if you want ministry. Thank you, Lord, for Phyllis, and we believe that the pain will go from her arm and shoulder in accordance with your word. Amen. I will tell you a prayer of agreement I have had which has seen marvellous results, and that is with a man and wife. I've done this about 20 times, who can't have children. And I've agreed with them they'll have a baby within 18 months. And in every case except one, they have. Now, also, when I was in Eastbourne, I believed with these people in America who couldn't have a child. They were depressed, they were distressed, they tried everything medical. And this sister came to me and we did prayer of agreement that they'd have a baby before June of this year. I was told just before Christmas that she has conceived. Now I'm praying that she will give birth to this baby. That was a prayer. I've been ever so many times. I've got photographs of babies. So, anyway, let's pray for David. Are you willing to do this, mate? Are you willing to agree with me for David? Are you, John?
Yes.
Let's all pray together. Lord, we thank you for our brother David. We thank you that he has followed you and your ways for many years. We thank you that he has even been a pastor of this church for a while. He's in his middle or late 80s. He's had a very drastic operation, which the doctors say was successful, and yet we learn about his blood pressure and about his distress. Lord, John, May and I, and this whole congregation believe that David will be restored to us in full health and strength. This is our agreement. And where two or three are gathered together, you are there in the midst. Lord, we believe it according to your word. Amen.
Amen.